Hello, and welcome to Media News Podcasts with me, Mark Campbell. Media News aims to be an authentic voice, bringing you real, truthful stories from the Middle East, with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored, or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. In today's podcast, we will be exploring the issues surrounding Germany's criminalization of the Kurds as they face an existential struggle for survival in the Middle East against a full-scale political and military onslaught from the Turkish state. And I'm really very honored to welcome today and be joined by Dr. Lucas Thun, a lawyer based in Berlin who has worked for many years on legal cases against Kurdish activists in Germany. Exactly 28 years ago, tomorrow, on the November the 26th, 1993, at the height of Turkey's systematic, brutal and murderous razing of Kurdish villages in the southeast of Turkey, the then Federal Minister of the Interior, Manfred Kanter, issued a ban on the PKK in Germany, essentially aiding Turkey to quash any opposition to Turkey's ethnic cleansing campaign in the southeast of Turkey against the Kurds. Germany has, of course, for a long time, since the Ottoman Empire, been a very strong ally of Turkey, with top German generals such as Baron von der Goltz and Helmuth von Moltke being charged with reorganizing and training the Turkish armies, and even being implicated in some way with giving advice to the Turkish armies at the beginning of the Armenian genocide. Indeed, Adolf Hitler himself has famously quoted, when he was justifying his brutal military policies of mass murder of civilians in Poland, when he said, "Who, after all, speaks today of the annihilation of the Armenians?" Turkey exported chrome and iron to the Nazi regime to build their weapons during the Second World War, and Germany has continued selling weapons such as rifles and tanks to Germany for decades, for use against the Kurds, both against civilians and the Kurdish armed fighters. But it is the insidious psychological strategy of labeling of the legitimate Kurdish resistance to Turkey's brutal repression that has been the most problematic, essentially aiding the Turkish state to politically repress the Kurds' legitimate struggle against racism and official policies of forced assimilation and forced denial of the Kurdish identity and culture in Turkey. So this Saturday, there is a call for a large demonstration in Berlin to call on the German government to remove the PKK from the list of proscribed organizations on the 28th anniversary of the ban, and to call on the German government to use their relationship with Turkey rather to press for an urgently needed political and peaceful settlement to the Kurdish question in the Middle East, made ever more urgent as a result of the Kurds' defeat of ISIS in northeast Syria and their establishment of the autonomous administration of northern East Syria. The Kurdish question has truly become one of the largest unsolved political questions in the Middle East, and now, more urgently than ever, needs a political solution. So one of those people in Germany who knows more than most about the political and repressive nature of the labeling of the PKK in Germany is Dr. Lucas Thun, a lawyer who has represented many Kurdish people who have been caught up in this political game and labeling, sometimes at very serious cost and consequences for themselves. Dr. Lucas Thun, welcome to Media News. Could you perhaps begin by giving us a brief history of Germany's policy towards the Kurds in Germany, and why, in your opinion, should people support this weekend's demonstration in Berlin and the general demand to delist the PKK from the list of proscribed organizations? Welcome, Lucas.
Well, first of all, thanks for the invitation. Thanks, Mark. To begin with the brief history, you've already mentioned 1993, which is, of course, the most important date with the ban of the PKK in Germany. Even before 1993, in the late 80s, Germany started trials and put Kurdish activists to prison. Since then, it has never stopped doing so, and has put around I guess at least 100 people in prison that were just active within the Kurdish movement, just for being politically organized, for going to demonstrations, for meeting each other, and for trying to live together for a more democratic world, especially in Turkey, but also in the other parts of the Kurdish inhabitants in the Middle East. This weekend, Saturday, 12 o'clock, Hermannplatz in Berlin, there will be a big demonstration against the ban of the PKK from 1993. And I think it's quite important to go there, whether you are Kurdish or not, and just to show your solidarity and to show that the democratic movement will win eventually, because it's very important that Germany would stop to discriminating their minorities again, since it has done so. Like nearly all of the existence of Germany, it has been discriminating against minorities, and now should be the time to stop it. And it would be very good to stop discriminating 1 million Kurdish inhabitants of Germany, mostly with a German passport.
Lucas, what is the general perception of the Kurdish community and the general level of awareness of people in Germany within the political circles but also in the wider general public? What is the general awareness of the situation of the Kurds in Germany?
Well, to be honest, the framing of Kurdish people as being terrorists is working, even in the public, and that's a big problem. You cannot just give a ban on the most important Kurdish political movement and then expect that the Kurdish would not be considered as being terrorists. This has happened, and this is very dangerous for living together peacefully in Germany. I guess that Germans that have nothing to do with Kurdish people in their neighborhoods don't even know whether someone is Turkish or Kurdish. This has also got to do with the ban of the Kurdish language in Turkey. And in Germany, it's even in the last years, slowly, there are some developments. For example, we have a big Kurdish film festival. We have some elementary schools where it's allowed to speak Kurdish now, and we have some pupils that are actually studying it. But it's all developing very slowly. And slowly, people are beginning to understand that Kurdish is a completely different language and has got nothing to do with Turkish, for example, and that the Kurdish people have been discriminated not just in Turkey, but also in Iraq, Iran, and Syria throughout a long time, and have been victims of genocides just like the Armenians too. I think that slowly there's a bit of a development to be seen, at least in the biggest cities of Germany, where the people are now aware that the Kurdish movement exists. This has got something to do also with the fight against Daesh, or ISIS as we call it in Europe, where the Kurds have been the most brave and most important factor to push back those Islamist forces. Since then, since 2014, I guess 15, the Kurdish have become more popular, and not just linked to being terrorists, but also to be Democrats and fighters for the freedom.
Thank you. And presumably within the political circles, they surely must have heard of the political repression against the democratic forces of the HDP, for example.
Yes, they have. And HDP is also quite active in Germany. A lot of people, actually a lot of members of parliament, had to flee from Turkey to Germany. So we have now members of parliament from Turkey that are actually based in Germany, and they try to lobby, because it's quite likely that the HDP will be forbidden in Turkey eventually. So they are lobbying, but still what they are facing is a bit of a skepticism from German members of parliament, because no one wants to have something to do with terrorists. And as it's very difficult for some German members of parliament to see the difference and to understand the political background of the 1993 ban of the PKK, they are all very careful, and sometimes they don't, they speak to HDP members, but then they don't want to be on their side in the public and so on. So that's all very difficult to lobby.
Okay, and Lucas, I know here in the UK, certainly the general population, I think if they were aware of some of the repressive measures that the British government have taken against ordinary Kurdish people just going about their daily lives, there's one instance of a woman who just used to sell the Özgür Political newspaper, for example, a legal paper, I think published in Belgium or Germany, and her house was raided by armed police officers who bashed down her door and had her and her children literally on the floor, traumatized and terrified. I think if generally people were explained the whole context of the Kurdish issue and the UK's complicity with the Turkish state, most people would be horrified. But I believe it's even worse in Germany. I mean, can you tell us, give us some examples of some of the situations that Kurds have found themselves under this ridiculous legislation?
Yeah, for sure. So that's, first of all, it's prison sentences that happen, but it's also house raids, like you just explained. What also happens is that in the migration law, people are being faced with odd questions by Secret Service. The Secret Service does not recommend to prolong their residence permit and so on. So that's also a quite interesting field where Kurds face a lot of repression by the Secret Service. And then also in family law, as you just described, we have one case in Western Germany where one woman was actually going to a demonstration, to a Kurdish demonstration with her kids. And then the authorities wanted to take away the kids just because she went to the demonstration with them. So that's in all fields of the life, actually Kurdish people are facing repression due to this stupid ban.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? There, I mean, you obviously know of the recent case in Belgium where really for the first time, I mean, we both know that this is not really a legal issue. It's more of a political issue to do with Germany and the UK and European countries' relationship, economic relationship and trading relationship with Turkey, that they go along with this labeling. But for the first time, possibly, all these labeling and evidence from the Turkish state about why the PKK, in their view, is a terrorist organization, was tested for the first time in a Belgium court. And obviously the Belgian court and Turkey even, appealed, and it went to the highest court in the Belgium legal system. And it was found that, of course, there was even laughed out of court with some of the evidence that Turkey gave. And the Belgian court, highest court, came to the conclusion that no, the PKK is not a terrorist organization, but rather it is a party to an armed conflict against the Turkish army. Do you think this case can have an impact on other cases in Germany and wider?
I do think so, yes. I think this decision is very important, and we have already used it in court cases, and it leads to, in German courts, it leads to, some sort of openness to discuss the matter again. Before that decision, the courts were tired of discussing with us again and again if this could be legal or not, this ban on the whole population, on the whole minority. And not seeing the point that actually what Turkey and the Kurdish movement are having is an armed conflict. There's no doubt about it. And then you should be honest as a court and actually take this into account. And you cannot call one side a terrorist and the other, like the National Army, that don't have anything to be afraid of. So this decision from Belgium is very important for us, and we are using this also as an argument Likewise, there is a case on the European Union level where our colleagues from Amsterdam have actually filed a case where the PKK is confronting the European Commission on the question of whether the PKK could be on the list of terrorist organizations. Also, this lawsuit was won in the first instance. It's now, well, the European Commission, of course, appealed against it, so it's still pending. But those cases are also important in Germany, as we can argue that it's not so sure and it's not safe forever that the ban of the PKK, like we have it in Germany, will exist when on European level and in our neighboring countries, this ban should actually be dropped.
Okay, thank you, Lucas, for that. You mentioned just before, Hyman, do you know a figure of how many Kurdish people are actually imprisoned in Germany as a result of this legislation at the moment?
Yeah, since the 1989, I think it's some like 120 people that have been in prison. At the moment, I think it's 9 people who are incarcerated.
9. Okay, well, I mean, in conclusion, I mean, really, in your opinion, what is the best way to get rid of this this label? How do we fight this label? Just in conclusion, also, if you could just a message to anybody who's thinking about coming to this demonstration in Berlin, if you could give a last message to them, I'd be really grateful. Thank you.
For sure. I think it's very important to act politically and to act on the streets and get together, connect each other, even in the different countries, get to know each other, compare your strategies and see what's actually successful in your country and then try to copy it in another country. Filing lawsuits is maybe just one way to try to solve this issue, but will not be successful alone. There need to be a political movement that's to be heard on the streets to get some change. I think if you consider coming to the demonstration on Saturday, do so, be loud, come with your friends, and try also to speak to your neighbors and other people that you see in your environment. Speak about this ban and what it does to people and that it needs to end now.
Dr. Lucas Thune, a lawyer with a lot of experience in dealing with cases of criminalization against the Kurdish freedom movement in Germany. Thank you very much for joining us today. And I believe it's really, I'm really grateful, as I know that you have COVID, and we wish you all the best health, that you get well soon. And thank you very much again from all our listeners. Thank you.